to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we've been looking at the characteristics of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And we left off last time emphasizing that the coming of the Lord in the air for His people will be a personal coming of Christ. He will be accompanied by the voice of the archangel. He will give a shout. We covered that last time. And tonight we're going to look at this trump that is mentioned here. "And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The shout of Christ and the voice of the archangel is also associated with the trump of God. This trump of God is sounded signals the great change that's going to occur. The believer's body will undergo a miraculous change, an instantaneous change. It's referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Again, we're not all going to physically die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 has a parallel verse where this trump is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. This trump is a trump of deliverance, a trump that signals victory. It will signal the end of the believer's struggle with sin, Satan, and the world. It is a trumpet that marks the glorification of the believer's body. When this trumpet is sounded, believers will undergo an instantaneous and a glorious transformation. And it's described in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." How miraculous is this going to be? We are literally going to be translated out of the flesh, out of the old nature. And we are going to be transformed completely into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to have the mind of Christ. We're never, ever, ever going to ever think about sin, or have an ill motive, or a wicked word, or a wicked thought. We're going to be glorified. We're going to have a glorified body. We shall be like Him in this transformation. The old nature will be put away, and we will have complete conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And this change will forever enable us to enjoy the worship and the glory of God throughout all eternity. And certainly this change will not just be for living believers, but this change will also involve those bodies that were sleeping in the first resurrection. They will come. And the Lord will glorify their bodies as well. In fact, they'll go first. It's marvelous to think of. It's miraculous. It's totally out of this world. It's extraordinary. It's unlike anything that anyone has ever, will ever experience. Maybe Enoch experienced something like this. Maybe Elijah going up in the chariot of fire experienced something like this. But I don't think it's just like this. Because we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now this trump will also be used to assemble all the saints of God. At least at that moment, at that time, this trump will involve the bodies of those who died in the Lord and those who are alive at this coming. That includes everybody. Old Testament, New Testament. We are all going to be assembled into the presence of Christ in glorified bodies for the very first time. It'll be a glorious reveille, calling all the saints of God into the glorious presence of Christ with new bodies. Fulfilling the prayer of Jesus in John 17 when He proclaimed that we would be one, that we would be like Him, that we would dwell with Him. And it's fulfilling the promise that He made in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Now, I personally believe that this is the last trump of its kind in Scripture. The trump used in the rapture, I don't believe, should be confused with the last trumpet of a series of seven in the book of Revelation. I think they're completely different. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons why I believe this. The trumpets in Revelation are used to signal the judgments and the wrath of God that will take place on the earth during the great tribulation. The seven seals, followed by the seven trumpets, followed by the seven vials in the book of Revelation, contain specific descriptions of God's wrath which will be outpoured upon the inhabitants of the earth. Now, with that said, I hope that you can see a major difference already. One is a trump of deliverance and victory. Those trumpets are trumpets signaling judgment, desolation. So the trumpet alluded to in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15 is very different. It's distinguished from the last trump in Revelation. The rapture trump is one that signals deliverance only for the saved, whereas the other last trump is the last in a series of seven trumpets of judgment for the lost, followed by, and that last trumpet there is followed by seven vials of wrath that are outpoured. The rapture trump signals deliverance from the wrath to come. So it should not be confused with the trumpets that announce various aspects of the judgment of God. The rapture trump is only for believers, and the trumpets sounded in Revelation are going to signal judgment for unbelievers. So in my estimation, that's a huge difference. That must not be overlooked or set aside. Now, another characteristic of the rapture revealed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the way in which it is distinguished from the revelation or the second advent of Christ, which will occur 7 years after the rapture. There is quite a marked difference. I've never believed in a general resurrection. I've never believed in a general judgment. I don't believe that there's just going to be a general judgment at the end. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, I've got a whole series on the differences between the judgments. The judgment of the nations. The judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment. The participants are different. The places where they occur are different. The participants are different. There's a lot of things that distinguish those judgments. But we'll get to that another day. But right now, I want to show you what I believe the Bible teaches about the difference between the rapture when Christ comes in the air and the revelation when He comes to the earth. First of all, the sphere of the rapture is different from that of the revelation of Christ. In this catching away rapture, the Lord comes in the air for His saints and takes them back to heaven with Him, fulfilling the promise of John 14, verses 1 through 3. In the revelation of Christ, He comes from heaven to the earth with the glorified saints to set up His kingdom. Now, if you're writing notes, I've got you a special handout tonight. Okay? So if you're writing fast and furious, just settle down. I'm going to give you this and you can include it. We'll go over it together. Secondly, in the rapture, the saints are caught up to heaven prior to the seven-year tribulation. Whereas the revelation occurs at the end of the tribulation period. So the rapture marks a deliverance for the saints of God who are delivered from the wrath of God. Whereas the revelation of Christ is marked by judgment upon the inhabitants of the earth. Revelation 19:5. Thirdly, the rapture marks the beginning of increased and unrestrained activity of Satan upon the earth, as well as the unveiling of the Antichrist, who I believe is a literal person. He's literally called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2. The revelation of Christ marks the judgment of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation 19:20. When Christ comes back to the earth, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. It also coincides with the binding of Satan in Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. And as I've said many times, everything in Revelation chapter 20, Satan's literal, Christ is literal, the resurrection is literal, the great white throne is literal. So, I don't know why we don't take it literally. Now, fourthly, in the rapture, Christ is accompanied only by Michael the archangel, Adonai, Gunga Din. Hurry, hurry, girl, hurry. Atta girl. You pass those out. There's 15 of them. Just one to a family. If you want more, I can make more. Now, in another little booklet that I wrote on the subject of eschatology, I made this. And it's just a handy-dandy little explanation of the differences between the rapture and the revelation of Christ. We'll go through it together, okay? The rapture is the first phase of the second coming. The revelation is the second phase of the second coming. The rapture occurs before the tribulation. We've not been appointed to wrath. And I believe that the time of tribulation is a time not of satanic wrath. It is God's wrath that is being unleashed. Did you get one? Thank you. So the rapture occurs before the tribulation. The revelation of Christ, when He comes back to the earth, it happens at the end of the tribulation. You say, I want proof for that. Good. Turn over to Matthew 24. There are time words related to this second advent that clearly mark when this is going to happen. There's no mistaking. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Immediately after what? The tribulation of those days. And by the way, I don't believe this is 70 AD by any stretch of the imagination. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Notice these time words and phrases. And then, what's that? That's when it's going to occur. Immediately after the tribulation. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe that specifically has to do with the regeneration and return restoration of Israel, those tribes. Verse 31, He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. Turn over to Matthew 25. Again, time words. When is the revelation of Christ going to occur? Verse 31 starts off with a time. When is when something's going to happen. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. Here's another time word. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. You know where that throne's going to be? Well, let's read where He's coming to. It's going to be on the earth. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This occurs on the earth. It's the judgment of the nations. The elect, the survivors, the elect survivors of the tribulation, they're going in with the saint, the glorified saints, into the kingdom. So there's a difference in the rapture and the revelation. The next is Christ in the rapture is coming for F-O-R, the saints in the air. It clearly states that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. In the revelation, Christ is coming back to the earth with the saints. Now, this is in several places. Let's look over at Zechariah chapter 14. So in the Revelation, Christ is coming back with the glorified saints to the earth. Zechariah is right before the Italian prophet Malachi. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. All right, Zechariah 14, look at verse 5. And by the way, this has to do with Christ coming back to the Mount of Olives. Coming back just like He said He would to the earth. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee as like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and notice what it said, and all the saints with thee. All the saints aren't with Him in the rapture. It's a personal coming. The only thing that accompanies Him is Michael the archangel, the voice of the archangel. In the Revelation, He comes back with all the glorified saints. There are other passages. Turn over to Jude 14. There are no chapters in Jude. Why is it everybody gets such a kick out of the preacher making mistakes? You ever notice that, Al? People love it. It's because they're sinners. It's terrible. All right, Jude 14, look what it says. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. For what purpose when He comes back to the earth? To execute judgment upon all. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. This verse goes right along with Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14. Again, associated with the revelation of Christ coming back to the earth with His saints. Revelation 19:14. And the armies which were in heaven. Who were these people? They're the people in Revelation 5, verses 9 through 12, who are saying, worthy is the Lamb. They're praising Christ for His finished work. And what's the last thing that they say? He has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is when it's going to happen. Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15 has to do with the judgment that He's going to execute. Verse 20 has to do with the beast and the false prophet being cast into the lake of fire at this juncture in history. So, rapture for the saints. Revelation, a rapture for the saints in the air, revelation with the saints to the earth. Everybody with me? All right, in the rapture, the saints are taken to heaven, just as Jesus had promised in John chapter 14. I'm not going to quote it because Adelaide is memorizing the whole chapter right now, and she gets all twisted if you get one little word out of place. So I'm going to read it. All right? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So in the rapture, the saints are taken to heaven. But in the revelation, where are the saints taken to? To the earth. They return to earth with Christ. Daniel the prophet spoke of this event in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 says, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Psalm 149 also alludes to this. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, rapture, saints are taken to heaven. John 14. Revelation, saints return to the earth. I've already quoted Revelation 5, 9, and 10, where the saints say, those glorified saints say, that we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 19, 5 says, now it's supposed to be, Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him for 1,000 years. Again, everything in Revelation that I can see is literal. I mean, Revelation 20. Don't get me wrong. There are things that are symbolic in prophecy. I will not argue with that. But when you start talking about Revelation chapter 20, too much of this bears a literal. I mean, I believe people are literally going to be resurrected. The dead are going to be resurrected. They're going to be taken to the great white throne of judgment. They're literally going to be judged by Jesus Christ and cast into a literal lake of fire for all eternity. Alright, we're almost done. In the rapture, it marks a deliverance for the saints of God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Alright? Whereas it's deliverance for God's people, but the revelation of Christ is the judgment for the ungodly. Big difference between deliverance and judgment, wouldn't you say? This is why I believe these two cannot be confused. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. When he comes back to the earth, he's going to judge. In fact, this is a whole other topic.
But he's going to purge the earth of every lost inhabitant at the beginning of the kingdom. And Matthew 25 teaches it. Alright? Now, another difference between the rapture and the revelation of Christ, the rapture marks the revealing, right after that will be the revealing of the Antichrist. I've already dealt with this some, so we're not going to go over there and read the whole chapter, but 2 Thessalonians. The rapture marks the time frame after that the Antichrist is going to be introduced to the world. And they're going to lap him up. They're going to believe a lie. Listen, the way things are right now in our world, people are looking for a charismatic leader to fix all the problems, and they'll do nearly anything. So he'll be readily received. Whereas the revelation of Christ, when he comes back to the earth, that's going to mark the demise and destruction of the Antichrist. Look at Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Now, again, I probably differ with some people. I believe that the beast signifies the Antichrist. The false prophet, I believe, is going to be the Pope of Rome. I don't believe the Pope is the Antichrist. He has the spirit of Antichrist. But he is the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. I believe everybody that's going to the lake of fire are literal people. So, this is real. All right, so, I still got a little bit more to go, don't I? In the rapture, Christ will, it appears that he'll be accompanied by Michael the archangel, because the voice of the archangel shall sound. Whereas in the revelation, Christ will be accompanied by the armies of the saints and a multitude of mighty angels. Revelation 19:14, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 8. In the rapture, as far as I can tell, there'll be no geographical changes on the earth. In the revelation, the Mount of Olives splits and creates a great valley. You can compare Acts 1, 11 and 12, which said he'll come back in like manner, with Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, when that geographical change occurs. So, for sake of time, we're going to stop there. Alright? I hope that was beneficial to you. Let's all stand.